Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode. Thank you guys for all the comments and all the love/messages from the first episode. I really appreciate it. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Welcome to this one. You nice to meet you. God bless. So we have a special guest today on the episode. Guys, because she sat next to me, sorry. But we have a special guest on today's episode. She goes by Spicy. You people don't know that. But she goes by Spicy, my tea spice, my sugar, my babe, my love, my shorty. She's here today and I'm going to just allow her introduce herself. So who are you? What's your name?
Hi everyone.
Why are you not shorty?
Hi, Yemi Yahoo, listeners.
Boy,
world. Why? My name is Toke, fondly known as T-Spice.
Period.
What else? I love Jesus.
Okay.
I'm an entrepreneur. And.
Entrepreneur of what?
Oh, I own like a mini pancake catering business
for period
in Nigeria. Currently in the UK at the moment while my baby is in Nigeria, and my baby being my business is in Nigeria, but I'm going back soon, so yeah, I'm excited for that. What else about me?
What's your business called?
It's called Bikiri.
Period.
B-E-K-I-R-I. You can check us out on Instagram. And I love food. Yeah, I just love food a lot.
Oh
yeah.
So how would your friends describe you?
My friends say I've just entered.
Well, I've entered.
So I mean, she just told me what we were talking about maybe like 3 minutes ago. How my friends describe me. I think my friends would say that I am so funny. Probably like the funniest person they know.
Yeah,
I am very funny. Like, I'm hilarious. I think my friends would say that I am pretty sacrificial. My close friends especially. My friends would say that I know how to cook and bake,
man. As in, oh god, you get, oh,
well, let's not get into that.
Oh god. If you're not a guest friend, you're genuinely missing out. Well, like, I promise you, you're missing out. Because those that can cook, man, we love to see it.
Yeah. What else? I think my friends also say that I am, I guess I'm kind. I think I'm quite a kind person. Not to my own. This is so weird talking about myself.
But, okay, you can stop if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm actually
I'm so done. Okay. But yeah, I'll definitely say like these things that Toki has mentioned about herself would, you see how it kind of links into this topic and she didn't even know, but yeah, it sure leads in. But I want to read the anchor scripture before we jump into things. So Matthew chapter 4 verses 19 to 22, and it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, they saw two brothers, James of Zebedee and his brother John. They were on a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, but Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and followed him. Then if you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ah, oh, I need to breathe. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay. So we can essentially see from these two scriptures that, first of all, God called people, he initially called his first four disciples that were pairs and they were brothers. They had friendship, they had relationship, and then he called them to follow him, and then through them following him, they were then called to evangelize. So our topic today is evangelism through friendship, or you can say evangelism through relationship. That's not the basis. Let me just give you a disclaimer. You're not only meant to evangelize people who are your friends or you have relationship with, but the aim for today's topic is how do you evangelize to people who are your friends who are not in Christ.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can see how you kind of pair up with this topic.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I guess just for people to get to know about you, how did you come to Christ? What's your testimony?
Okay. My salvation story is nothing that, like, there's no, like, oh my God, I had a dream and it's just because of me. Like, it's not really that dramatic.
Yeah.
But I came to Christ when maybe 80% of the people that are currently in Christ came to Christ, which was lockdown.
Okay, Fizz.
I mean, like, I had always been a Christian, like, everybody's born into a Christian family, but genuinely, like, I had actually always been, like, a Christian. I think in most of my friendship groups growing up, I was always, like, the more, like, not the more Christian one, what's that? Like, just the person who
talks about God
the most, or, you know, even down to, like, my foundation school, like, I used to lead the church choir, I used to, you know, lead morning devotion. Like, I've just always been that person.
Yeah.
So it's not as if I didn't know who Christ was. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew to an extent what was required of me. But I think in lockdown was when I was like, okay, I'm actually going to take this walk more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was just one day where I think I was on one of those Zoom calls that we just used to have back then. And I just felt so convicted in my spirit that, okay, you've not really been taking God as seriously as you should, blah, 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 blah. And I felt like I just should make that decision once again. And I did, and haven't looked back since then.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. And I was actually going to ask you a question about, were there any points in your relationship with God where you thought to look back, where you're like, ah, this is a bit much. Am I doing too much? My friends are outside. I'm here pushing, pulling God, saying I'm all for God. Did you ever have that moment in your relationship? And how did you get through it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially in, like, the very early stages where... But even in the very early stages, I want to say I cut off everything and I was not listening to secular music as soon as I, like, it wasn't that, like, everything happened in the city. I think I decided I didn't want to really listen to secular music maybe about 2 years ago, and I had given my life 4 years ago. So I feel like everything happened in stages, but even at that, like, even just the small things, like, well, I want to wear this top out, but I can't because of all my cleavage.
Whoa.
Like, just little things like that. You're just like, oh, more, like, please, it's not, like, is it that deep? Like, I just wanna look cute. Like,
yeah.
Please. So, yeah, I definitely had moments like that. And I think that, I wouldn't say, oh, throughout your Christian walk to be there, you have moments like that, but I feel like moments like that do come. I would say it shouldn't come often. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, you know, it's kind of a bit normal to feel like,
do I really, like, want to do this?
Like, yeah, you will get to a certain stage where that probably doesn't happen. But I think as I will still call myself, like, a fairly newish believer. I mean, 4 years is not that long. But, it definitely happened.
I asked this question because, you know, the aim for this season is God trying to reconcile his children back to him.
Okay.
So if I think about this first scripture I got about Yirmeyahu, it was about freeing people from captivity.
Yeah.
So for anybody who is listening, who has probably just started off their Christian journey, mm-hmm. right? I think the aim of sharing people's testimonies and how they came into Christ and where they are now is to show people that it's actually attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is attainable. Like, it is okay
yeah.
for you to start off not knowing anything and yeah. you get to a point where you are a lover of God and yeah. you want to do everything that
pleases
you know, exactly yeah. that pleases God. So that kind of leads me into the next question about how did you become very vocal, you know, in your friendships
mm-hmm.
about God? Like, what got you to that point where you were very comfortable, you didn't care mm-hmm. to look like you were so Christianese and mm-hmm. you were so, you know, mm-hmm. most holy, most righteous? Like, yeah. how did you get to that point of being so vocal? And then later on, being able to evangelize to your friends.
How did I get to that point? I think, to be frank, to be very honest, it was one of those things where, like, I just had to force myself. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, being a Christian, sometimes things are just like, oh, it will come, it will happen. Sometimes you just gotta
get it together. Tickets, yeah.
So like, I just have to force myself and just be like, kind of like, maybe I would want to, like, for example, a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
someone was like, "Why are you going for this party?" And I was like, "Oh, like, I don't actually really party anymore, right?" Normally, before, I would have been like, "I don't think so. I think I have something that day. Like, I'll try and make one
kind excuse."
Of yeah, but like, I had to force myself to be like, actually, it's not that I don't feel like it, I'm tired, I don't.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And yeah, I think it was just a thing of forcing myself. Like, the first time you kind of make that, or you kind of vocalize that,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, okay, you've done it, you didn't die, you're alive.
Bro.
You guys are still friends.
Or yeah.
You know? Then the next time, you're like, okay, this can be a new normal. And then from there, like, it just becomes kind of like second nature, and to be fair, it comes to a point where you wouldn't even need to be doing all of that because your friends already know where you stand,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah, I guess for me, my straight answer is I just had to force myself. Like, one day I just had to do it. And I think when your life is centered around Christ, and when you literally live your life around what the Bible says,
yeah, becomes easier.
Yeah, you just have to do it. Like, you have to kind of choose, am I gonna pick my friends' emotions and how they're gonna feel,
bro,
over my own eternity?
Yes.
And eternal life and the promise that God has given me, like, which one actually matters more?
Yes.
And you realize that, you know, if your friend truly loves and adores you, they will understand that you are on this journey and they would do everything they can to help you.
Yes, so, and I love that you said that. It kind of skips to my, I think it was probably my second to the last question,
mm.
about why are Christians so shy
mm.
to be vocal about their faith. Mm. And even to take it back a notch, I feel like when you love God so much,
yeah.
when your relationship with God has built, is you know, is building and is continuing to build to a point where God is the only person you are looking mm-hmm. and seeking to please.
Mm-hmm.
You vocalizing your, where you stand with God and your Christian life to your friends, to your colleagues, to your family,
mm-hmm.
becomes second nature to you. Like, oh, yeah. you're not scared to do it
yeah.
because the consequences with God far outweigh people's emotions, mm-hmm. like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But let me even look for the question I was meant to ask at the end. Yeah, so why would Christians, like, that say they are Christians and they love God, be so shy to actually vocalize their relationship mm-hmm. and their love for God?
I think it's because a fundamental part is people pleasing. I think that's definitely one of the biggest things. Like, God is actually still healing me from people pleasing tendencies,
mm.
just wanting to make sure. But in that people pleasing, you're pleasing everybody else but the ultimate person that
guy.
You actually please.
Yeah. No, but it's so true. It's so true because
yeah.
when I was reading, I think it was John chapter, what did I read this morning? was it 17? And he was talking about, like, Jesus was talking about how he was sent, and like he was sent to people, but he was sent on a mission that is meant to please God. Like, whatever he has done on this earth, he did it to please the Father. So if Jesus's priority at the end of the day was to please God, then why is our priority, you know, more skewed? I guess it's easier said than done in terms of, is a habit you have to cultivate, right? But I think just breaking that idea of wanting to please other people rather than please God, we actually need to stop it in our generation, because it's really bad.
And I think one of the reasons why people probably see people more important than God is because people are like, they're there in front of you, you see their live reaction, you know, and you just know that you can, if I don't know, people just obviously take grace for granted. So I think just all those factors contribute to them just feeling like them pleasing people is more important, because if they don't please people, people will be mean to them. But they know that if they don't please God, last class, they'll look and say, God, please forgive me, tomorrow I'll try again. Tomorrow, same thing will happen. I just feel like it all just stems from, I guess, to kind of, for me, the formula of getting rid of people pleasing is loving God more. And by loving God more, obviously, has to know God more by knowing His Word, reading His Bible, getting stuck in all of that. Because most people that I know, lots of Christians that have literally been healed from people pleasing, and this the way they did that was just their love for God just overwhelmed everything else. That honestly, they didn't even care. Like, don't be my friend. This is who I am. This is who I'm gonna be. So whatever you want to do with it, that's your business. So like, I just think that's the best.
That's the point you need to get to.
Yeah, that's honestly the point you need to get to. So I don't know, but yeah.
No, but that's it's a very good topic that you've brought about, people pleasing, and it's so interesting that when it comes to evangelism, just in general, and then let's say evangelism with friends or family, people pleasing is a massive part of why people stop themselves from going out to talk about God. Because even when you talk about street evangelism, you don't want to look like that person that is doing too much or knows God too much. But that also stems from people pleasing and not wanting to look a certain way in front of others compared to what God has actually told you to do as your assignment. So it's very interesting that you brought that up. I guess it kind of segues into the scripture in Matthew chapter 5 that says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Obviously, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be exactly and thrown into hell. So, and then the Bible repeats itself again in Matthew chapter 18, saying the same thing. So even in general, people that did English, when you see repetition, it's something that you're meant to pay attention to. So if the Bible is telling us that if something is going to cause you to stumble, something is going to cause you to fall, maybe your friendships and, you know, you surrounding yourself with people who are mostly not Christian, instead of joining a Christian community, developing with those people and still getting to a point where you're able to evangelize to your non-Christian friends, right? If the Bible is telling us, okay, something that causes you to stumble, you should throw it away so your whole body doesn't become corrupt. How do we then practically, you know, prevent ourselves from not being corrupt in our mindsets, but also even taking away the people pleasing thing? What's the question I'm trying to ask now? How do we prevent ourselves from, you know, seeking satisfaction from men rather than seeking satisfaction from God?
I genuinely think this has to take a practical approach.
I agree.
I feel like it's one of those things where you genuinely have to sit down, open your notebook or your notes app, and write down what are the benefits of seeking validation from people. And then write down the benefits of seeking
validation from God.
And see which one is more important.
Very true. No, genuinely, it's true.
Like,
yeah.
It has to take that kind of practical approach. Like, you actually have to look at both side by side. Okay, people, okay, they will be nice to you. They would, I don't know, give you job opportunities, plus for you, blah, blah, blah. All those things, you're not going to take them to get a consumer. Mm-hmm. To be honest, like, when you weigh both, mm-hmm. and you see, okay, well, which one is more important, like, anybody would know, even anybody can actually see that the one that has
God, one, yeah,
definitely more important. Yeah. So I think that's one way to prevent that. Another way I would say is what I mentioned earlier about just genuinely knowing God more and by like reading His word and all those things. Like, I know it sounds very cliche and it's like one, I guess, things that people just say,
mm-hmm.
but genuinely, when you actually get stuck in your word is when you get to know who God is more, and that's when you are just more overwhelmed by His love.
Yeah.
And I also think surrounding yourself with Christian community,
thank you,
is also really like top in that, because you get to experience what it is like to just be free in Christ with other people who understand that. When it comes to, you know, pleasing people who don't understand, it actually repulses you, and yeah. you're just like, kind of like, I'm fed up of this. Take me as I am.
Yeah.
Or do whatever you chose.
Yeah, honestly. You know what I mean? Yes.
So it's just like, yeah. That's one thing that really helped me. I think being around my Christian friends, I was just like, to be honest, this feels so nice. And I'm so grateful that I have, you know, friends who are not as quote unquote Christianese as I am, my other friends are, but like, they still understand me and they still try and like accommodate me,
because you also set that boundary, yeah, as yeah, well, yeah. Exactly, yeah, exactly,
yeah. So yeah, that's what I'll say.
And that's an important point which we probably did not touch on, but we'll expand on it now. Mm-hmm. Setting boundaries in terms of your friendships,
yeah.
with people who are not as, let's say, Christiany, mm. as you are, or are not trying to get to the place where you are trying to get to with God.
Yeah.
And that's why this thing of evangelism and, you know, bringing people along and, you know, taking people to church, mm. introducing them to church, introducing them to community, mm. spreading the word, teaching them how the Bible says we should live our lives, mm. is so important, because yeah. everybody is going to have friends that are very, very Christian and on the Christian walk and want to know mm. God, but we're also going to have friends who
are not
yeah. exactly, or are not there yet.
Yeah.
And if the Bible is calling us to be, you know, fishers of men and to disciple and, you know, to bring people into the fold, you have to learn how to set boundaries, first of all, with the people who are not there, so you do not end up compromising your own self. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was, yeah, do you want to say anything?
No.
And there was a scripture in, I think it was Romans chapter 12. Mm. It was saying, let us love without hypocrisy. Abhor evil. I was about to say evil. God. Guy, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence. Be fervent in the spirit, serving God. Mm. So it tells you, love your brother, you know, be affectionate to your brother, but your aim is to be fervent in the spirit, serving God, loving God above everything else, right? And then he goes on to say, blessed are those who persecute you, etc., etc. And then it skips to verse 19 where it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, right? So God knows people are going to mock you. People are going to make fun of you. But above all, he has said vengeance is his. And your aim is to serve God. Your aim is to please God. So we've kind of established that. If we go back to the thing of evangelizing, right? How do you, and we mentioned compromise. How do you keep your faith firm without compromising?
Okay. I think it's definitely a gradual process. I don't think, you know, the moment you come into Christ, bam, your boundaries are set. Every leg.
Please.
I feel like that was quite realistic.
Yeah.
I guess how to keep your faith firm. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I won't lie. This is hard. Because you are trying to be polite. You know, you're trying to be are you also trying to obviously honor God? You also don't want to hurt your friends' feelings and all of that. It's definitely hard, but one thing I will say is, like I've said, weighing up the costs, like just knowing that, honestly, which would I choose? Am I gonna choose how my friend is gonna feel, you know, because just because I don't wanna, or just because they want me to do this, like want me to go to the club or whatever, like am I gonna choose them being happy that I came to the club? Oh my god, yeah, it's okay, you came, oh my god.
Wow.
I'm gonna choose that over like just being satisfied. I'm not saying that because I went to the club I'm gonna go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is just even the satisfaction of, oh my god, I chose God in this moment.
Yes.
Like God chose us in that moment when it was finished on the cross. Like so knowing that, oh my god, I can actually do this for God, like just that satisfaction in itself is an unmatched feeling, right? Just knowing that, oh my, like I actually pleased God in this moment. He's so happy with me. I didn't do what I would have done if, I don't know, I wasn't in Christ or whatever. Like just knowing that this decision I've made not to do this thing is making God happy, that should be more than enough. And like I said, the only reason why it wouldn't be enough for someone is because they probably haven't reached a point where they love God that much. Because if you love someone, you're always trying to look for ways to make them happy. Like for me, I have a boyfriend and I know that I love my boyfriend.
Why?
Like, yeah, whatever. So I'm always trying to look for ways to make him happy. Like, I'm not going to, you know, compromise or, you know, look
do
for
things that will affect your relationship.
Like, that's just, you know, something that I'm actually actively looking for ways. Okay, how can I make his life easier? How can I make him happy? Like, that should be what it should be like with God. So any opportunity to make God happy, someone should jump at it. Like, literally jump at it. Like, attack it. Like, this is your time to shine.
Yeah, bro, it's true. Like, it's so true.
So powerful after, like, I actually did that. Like, the devil did not win this time.
Yes. So, yes. And the song that was coming to mind is, "My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself. Exactly, exactly. But yeah, that's a very good one. Yeah. And I think it even segues into the next question that I had. I'd heard somebody say this before.
Yeah,
I'm using the segues. Ah, maybe work.
Segue.
Maybe work, oh. But yeah, segues into the next question. I heard somebody say once that, like, why can't they be in the club evangelizing? Like, they'll be able to evangelize in the club. Is that a realistic thing? And why do you feel like being in the club to evangelize is your best way to reach somebody as a Christian?
Honestly, this topic is because
ridiculous.
I actually don't think so, you know.
Really? Let me hear your perspective.
I feel like God can move anywhere, right? And I think sometimes we Christians like to box God up and, you know, like to box up the Holy Spirit and kind of say, okay, you can only move within these perimeters, you can only move in this place and this place. I'm not sure how I feel about actually being in the club evangelizing, because not because I think the Holy Spirit wouldn't move there, but just because obviously the
new, why is that your first point of contact to want to go and evangelize? It's like different if you said you're standing outside the club and then speaking to people.
Yeah, because my old church in uni actually used to stand outside the club, but our own tactic was we had water, like cold water. People were outside the club, they want like a bottle of water, but before you can get the water, you gotta drink from the
period. The well. The well of the spirits.
From the spirits. So that was our own tactic. But anyways, but being actually inside the club with all the secular music, it's likely that you might just shake a little leg.
Exactly.
And then from there, you shake a little hand. And from there,
I am now moving. Exactly.
Them. But at the same time, it's also like, who says that the Holy Spirit cannot order your steps there to reach someone? Like, God is very mysterious and he works in mysterious ways that I cannot categorically say that he cannot, you know, move there and he cannot lead someone there for a certain time or for certain people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's completely off limits, personally. I don't think it's off limits, actually. I just think you just have to genuinely be led there. Because if you're not led there, you can't lead yourself there and you say you want.
So, that's already an error.
Unless you're genuine, if genuinely feeling your spirit that God said I should go to this place and do this thing, then honestly, do like, I cannot say God did not speak to you. That's, you know, that's your own.
I think my take is that I'm not saying as well that God cannot move in the club, right? But I don't think your first point of call will be inside the club. So as you're inside the club, what atmosphere are you under? Because are you going to be properly kabashing under that atmosphere? Are you going to be, is your eyes going to be looking at the right things? Because you're still human, and you might say, okay, you can be in the club, but you're still carnal, you're still human, right? Are you going to be looking at the appropriate things? Is your heart going to be in the right place for you to even hear a word about that person you came to the club to talk to? Do you get what I mean? So I don't think your first point, if you are just a new believer, that the first at the first point of evangelism will be in the club.
It's dangerous to do that as a new believer, for sure. For sure, as a new believer. As a new believer, I don't really think, especially when God knows your vices and knows
exactly
the things that get you. Like, for me, it was, when people talk about, oh my God, like, fornication, for me, secular music had me like this in the chokehold. So God, I don't think God has time to go and evangelize inside the club because I might just join them.
I'm still dancing.
I'm telling you. So
But no, it makes sense. I mean, I guess even going back to the thing about evangelizing to your friends, right? How often should you do this? Let's say if you have a Muslim friend.
Okay.
If you, you know, a friend that is still outside, how often should you be evangelizing to them? Is there a time frame? Is there a number? I don't think there is a number. But like, how active should you be in terms of evangelizing to those friends?
I think this is a good question. I wouldn't do it every single day because you don't want to scare anybody and you don't want them to feel judged or misunderstood. I would say there's no rigid time frame.
Exactly. To be honest,
just as the spirit leads. But and the thing is, there's so many ways to evangelize to your friends that people don't, it's not just about calling them and telling them about Jesus. Like, if you have a close friend, even if it's posting a worship song that you feel like they would like. Like, sometimes I post Afro gospel songs that I know like my friend would like this, who isn't really, and funny enough, maybe that friend could struggle, but like, ah, this song is so nice. Just subtle things like that. So it doesn't have to be the usual traditional, oh, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's room for that, you know, but I don't think you should bombard them with text messages and calls and invitations to church all the time and this and that, because it's likely that they would just be like, okay, chill, like, that way we'll make them, do they even want to do it? So maybe they were even thinking about it before. All this one that you're now doing has the potential to actually push them further. So I think, again, as the spirit leads, probably, you know, if you've done it, let's see when you use numbers, let's say you've done it on a Sunday, maybe you've met them to church on a Sunday morning, maybe they didn't come, something happened, you can invite them again the next Sunday. But let's say they don't come maybe like 5 Sundays in a row. I'm not saying you should completely give up, but just give them a bit of space. Even if it's for like a week, 2 weeks, and try again. Because if it's like you're just always, the last thing you want is for them to completely not even
turn away from it.
So, yeah, I think you need to first of all, know your friend. The type of person that your friend is. Your friend gets very easily.
Yeah.
You know, what? Who is your friend? Ask yourself that question. And from there, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. You kind of tailor your evangelism approach
to the friend. That's a very good point. Yeah. That's a very, very good point. And even after that, I think there's a huge aspect that prayer takes or comes into when it has to do with evangelism in general. And you mentioned it being led by the Holy Spirit, but there's also an aspect of you praying for your friends, your non-Christian friends, you praying for them to come to know God, to come to know God through you, to come to know God through an interaction with somebody who might not even be you, but that they come to know God is the ultimate aim slash goal slash purpose, right? So how, I guess the question is, why do we not sometimes go to prayer as a first contact when it comes to, you know, trying to reach our friends? Because sometimes some people just jump into the, or I send them the scripture, I send them, but have you prayed for their hearts to be receptive? Do you add them in your prayer when you're praying for your friends, when you're praying for the church, when you're praying for your family? Are you actually actively interceding over that person's life? So when you give them a word, it's something that they can take in, right? But yeah, have you prayed for friends who are not Christian and have come to know God? And are you still praying for friends who are not Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. So to answer the first part, I genuinely don't know why people are not more inclined to pray. About these things. I'm trying to even think, what could the reason be?
There might be no reason, because I'm just lazy. Who knows?
I guess people that probably don't pray for these things are maybe people who have been quote-unquote used to their prayers of being answered. People that have prayer trauma, things like that. So it's kind of like, what's the point? If I pray for this one, maybe they've prayed once or twice and nothing has happened, you know, and not just about friends but about other things
generally. Yeah,
so they don't see the point of prayer. I know there are people who genuinely struggle with, what's the point of praying? Like, God's gonna do what he's gonna do anyways. Like, I know people that struggle with that. So yeah. But for me personally, I definitely pray for my friends who are not as mature in their faith. I do pray for them that they come to know Christ, they come to know him, because I'm not selfish.
Yeah.
One of the things I said was that I'm sacrificial.
Did I say
I was selfless?
I can't remember.
But anyway, I know what I've tasted and seen being in Christ. I know the freedom. I know
the
my life is like a movie. If you know my life, you know things that I've done in my life, you will know that she says the living God.
Yeah, like, that's for sure.
So for me, like, it would be so selfish of me to not want that for my friends. I say I love my friends, but I'm very, how can I be complacent that they don't know Christ?
And yes, yes.
What are you, like,
it's crazy.
How? Like, you guys, please, just give him a chance. Like, he will literally change your life. That's literally how I feel. And I have such a passion and a hunger for it that everyone around me can see that I want all my friends to know God. I want them to come to Christ. And that's just because of my experience, my testimony, what I've been through, how I've seen God move, and just who God is, period.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do pray for them. I would say in terms of the efficiency, it worked to an extent. Like, I have friends that maybe, I'm not saying it's because of my prayer that it worked too, but I will say that I have friends that maybe they were not as mature in their faith, and now, you know, they're more curious. You know, maybe they'll message me that, oh, they're trying to take their relationship with God more seriously. And I'm like so happy because I know that I've prayed for this. So yeah, God answers prayers. Guys.
100%. And it's so interesting that love is a Toka is trying to drink water, guys. I love to drink into the mic. It's so funny. But anyways, it's so interesting how when it comes to evangelism, love is a huge aspect of it.
Oh yeah.
Because we were saved because God actually loved us.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that sometimes that is an aspect of what is missing when it comes to you, you know, preaching or reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. Are you actually reaching out to people from a place of love and wanting them to really know God because you know this is the best thing since sliced bread?
Yeah.
Or are you just doing it as a, okay, yes, I know it's our duty to do it, but are you doing it just to tick the box? Right? And even the thing about prayer and not, why do we not go to prayer as a first point of contact? As well, why do we as Christians not try to preach to our immediate friends? Right? I know we touched on the aspect of people pleasing, but sometimes we often skip our immediate friends and family and then try and go out exactly to preach to people in the world. But if love is a huge aspect in evangelism, you have a love for those people and a relationship has already been built. So don't you think that's the most fertile ground for you to then start evangelizing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I definitely feel like that's the number one place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's actually where I'm most comfortable
evangelizing,
actually. Even just down to having like debates with my dad at home about why I don't think Christians and Muslims serve the same God thing, like just little things like that. I love it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I love a good debate. You know, let's talk about it. Let's hash it out. But yeah, I think I don't know why people would want to go to the general public rather than their family, maybe friends that they love. I think maybe it's also a thing of shame. I feel like when you just
those people have known you.
Yeah, you know when you go into Christ and there's that like excess, but like you just want to do everything. You want to delete all your Instagram posts and just refresh and rebrand and just only post about
not
Jesus.
The rebrand.
Yeah, like that's just what you want to do. And I just feel like maybe they feel like, oh my God, this is so weird. Like if they now come to their friend and like, oh, come to church, and the friend is thinking, wasn't it you that was just smoking with
2 weeks ago? True.
Like, did you get what I mean? So
to an extent, it's easier to go to people that don't know you.
Yeah, that's like, okay, new starts. You don't know me before. Here I am. This is me. Like, they feel more accepted that way.
That's true.
Because I know, for example, if you're maybe at McDonald's and let's say you see like a stranger, such a random example, you see a stranger eating and maybe there's somebody else that you know that's eating, right? I'm not saying that. I probably would go to the person I know, to be honest, but I'm saying some people might actually prefer sitting down with a stranger and offloading everything that's going on with them rather than sitting down with somebody they know and offloading. Because this stranger probably will never see me again and you don't know me before. You don't really know my past. You don't really know what's going on with me. So like,
so you're less likely to judge me.
Yeah, it's like judgment is way less. But when it's like, was it not you that we just went to party last night? Which one is going to church? Going to church? When do this one start? Like,
yeah.
And it happens though. People that when you evangelize to your friends and family, pastor, all those comments that make you feel
those nasty comments.
Quite uncomfortable. Like, oh yeah, please guys, let's stop that, please.
Yeah, let's actually stop that.
Like, stop pastor means blah, blah, blah. Thank you, but no thanks.
She vexed.
Yeah.
Please.
So yeah, like, it actually makes people feel uncomfortable. So that's why they would always turn to strangers and their family.
Yeah. That's a very good point because I think it's very interesting why the topic was evangelism through friendship or you know, relationship, because I think general evangelism to people that we don't know is a thing that people do, right? But that aspect of drawing in a friend is something that we're actually missing.
Yeah.
And the people around us, the closest people to us, are actually missing out on God because of that fear of being judged or, you know, people pleasing or, you know, you not being able to establish boundaries. And because of your personal fears, people are actually missing out on getting to know God, right? So I feel like it's something that we needed to address. in terms of evangelizing, in terms of in your friendships. But yeah, I think my next question is, so from evangelizing, how do we make sure that people get to the point of being disciples? Because at the end of the day, we're not just meant to come into it and give our life to Christ and that's where we stop. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The aim is not just for them to, that's the biggest aim is for them to give their life to Christ, yes.
Yeah.
But they're not just meant to give their life to Christ and then stop at that level.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure as friends, as family, as community, as a church, that from the point of evangelizing to people and them giving their life to Christ, we're able to carry them along and through the process till they become mature, till they become disciples. Because disciples are followers of Christ, you know.
Yeah.
You do everything God does. You love God. You follow Him. Yeah. You imitate Christ. So how do we get to that point from, you know, just evangelizing to building up people to the point where they are active, consistent followers of Christ?
I think there's so many ways. It can be as little as, oh, do you want to do this Bible plan with me? Sure, let's do a 60-day Bible plan. Just stuck with me for 60 days.
60 days is actually getting me, please. Yeah. I mean,
that's obvious. You don't have 60 days. We can't be as little as a 3-day Bible plan.
Yeah.
Like, just do, like, Bible plans are so underrated. But, like, genuinely, it can be as little as that.
Because it's helping you follow up with that friend.
Yeah, it can be a challenge that you guys do together. Oh, let's do a 30-day. You just finished a 100-day prayer challenge.
Yes, like, I did.
That could have been such a good way to, let's say someone had just given their life to Christ. You could send this to them, like, oh, let's make this a fun thing. You know, 100 days of prayer, blah, blah, blah. You know, little things like that. For me, oh, and number one is church. Anybody that knows me knows that I love my church.
Yep. That's right.
I want everybody to come to my church.
That's right.
If you don't have a church, if you have a church, you know,
stay where you are.
Don't move. But if you're someone that's looking for a church, or let's say you just giving your life to Christ and you know you don't know where to go, I'm your girl. Like, I will literally invite you to church. I'll put you through what's it called, link you with people who I know are active in the church. I can get you involved serving in church. So if you yourself are a server in church, if you have a friend that just giving their life to Christ, try and get them to serve in church as well, because I cannot emphasize how much service in the church builds up your faith, the responsibility it gives. You know, even if they don't have to serve like a proper team, like ushering or whatever, they can even serve, even if it's the prayer team, coming to church 1 hour early, that commitment alone, you know, like
just
some simple things. It doesn't have to be anything deep, like making accountabilities calendar. Yeah, let's, like, it doesn't have to be that serious.
Yeah, but even with what you've mentioned, those things are accountability without screaming accountability.
Yeah, yeah.
Because service, you're accountable to a team, you're accountable to your church, 100%. You're accountable to people around you.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to doing a Bible plan with somebody, that's you also being accountable, right? Exactly. You're being accountable without you screaming, be my accountability partner, right?
Exactly.
So Toke has mentioned accountability, service. What was the last thing you said? It was there and it has gone. Oh,
wasn't that just those two?
No, you mentioned one more.
Okay, I said inviting them to church.
That's it. Inviting them to church. So when they're invited to church, they are planted.
Yeah.
There's a place
linking them with people who you know are already
community.
Planted. Yeah. Like, for, I'll give an example. I was in Nigeria. I had a friend who messaged me that she was looking for a church and she wants to take her relationship with God seriously. I had a friend in church who, she's very, I don't know, Deborah, shout out to you.
Fervent.
But yeah, very fervent, very friendly, very, you know, my personality was, so I literally just linked them, like,
together,
and now, like, this is my new friend, like, she's now been a, you know, what's it called?
What's the word?
Consistent. Goer, you know, she's taking our relationship with God more seriously. Like, it can just be something as simple as that. Also, checking with people. Maybe it doesn't have to be every day. Oh, how are you going? Hope you're going back today. Like, no, like, let's chill. Like, every 2 weeks, every 1 month. How's it going? You know, what, do you need any help with anything?
Yeah.
Are you struggling with anything? Do you want to pray together?
Yeah. And if you've already given them those things in terms of community, accountability, being planted, a church,
yes,
it's a bit harder for them to
Do Because you look go at back your life, to their, what helps you? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself that question. Like, what helps me? What helps me stay?
Yeah.
I have these things that helps me stay in this walk. Okay, I have these things. Bingo. Copy and paste. Doesn't have to. Not everything would work. Because like I said, this whole thing is no one size fits all. But
you don't need to go and reinvent.
Yeah, you don't need to go and reinvent things. Like, what works for you? Okay, try this. If it doesn't work, try something else. You know? So it's...
And what does the Bible even say? Yeah. Those things are already in the Bible as well. Mm. Jesus had community. He had his disciples.
Yeah.
He had a place where he was planted. He was in the temple.
Yeah.
He had people around him. He was in service. He
served.
Jesus served. He was going out to preach to other people.
Yes.
He was learning the word. He was praying.
Yes.
So those are things that you can also implement. Emulate and implement in your life, or implementing your evangelism strategy to get your friends to know God. But yeah, I think just the ultimate I guess purpose of this episode is to make sure that we do not forget our friends and forget the people closest to us when it comes to actually talking about the word of God. Even me, I'm speaking to myself.
Yeah.
I should not forget my Muslim friends that, you know, need to know God. Am I praying for them?
Yeah.
Am I trying to figure out how to include them? Or, you know,
are you just focusing on the ones who are actually keen?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do that, because you know that this one's the one side.
Exactly.
The one that will not really answer you. You're not going to those ones. Please. You don't want to chop Ella.
But yeah, it's true. Like, how intentional are we in terms of reaching our friends and evangelizing to our friends and, you know, teaching them the word, teaching them the gospel? Do our lives emulate the gospel in the first place? Do we even know the gospel?
Yeah.
Because you can't know what, you can't preach what you don't know. Exactly.
So,
do you know the gospels? Do you know what God has said in the Bible? Do you know the foundational things for you to be able to go out and go and speak to somebody? And I'm not saying you need to be perfect and, you know, the most versed in the scripture.
Definitely not.
But you should know the basics. You should know who Jesus is.
For
you
sure.
should know who the Holy Spirit is. You should know
for
who God is.
For sure.
But yeah, I think that is all I have to say. I don't think I have any other questions.
The biggest ways to actually evangelize is not even through... look up to church or do this or do that. It's through your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people see the fruits of your life, they become curious. Like, what's going on here? Like, what is actually going on here? Who is this God that took care of his servant? And why is it so good to her? I want to know who this God is, so I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Like, that's
a massive point.
It doesn't even have to be the things that happen for you, because that's not the basis of your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the happiness, how happy, like
the freedom
that you have, the freedom that you have, the glow.
Let's talk about the glow.
It's real.
It's real.
It actually exists.
It's real.
So, you know, I genuinely think that is the best and the biggest way to evangelize. I'm not even kidding. Like, I've had a friend say to me, like, it's okay, this God that you serve, I genuinely want to know you. Because it's like you're just different. Like, things that happen to you, they don't even faze you like that. If you know me, you know I've been through it. But even at that, you know that
there's a bigger thing.
Yeah, like, you just, why is she not so downcast? Why is she not so big? Because I just, do you understand? So
that
it's
is
like,
so true.
Just see, they should see that from you and they should want that.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And it's good that you brought that up. Our lives are the biggest testimony of who God is to us.
That's it.
Like, how much is your life showing that Jesus is real? How much is your life emulating the kindness of God, emulating the goodness of God, emulating the faithfulness of God?
Yeah.
What things do you need to work on in your life so people that don't know God know that there is a God? Yes.
Even just little things like how you respond in anger.
Mm-hmm.
When people see that, like, sorry to bring up Debola again.
Shout out to Debola.
Debola is one person that she is genuinely like, she Like, Deborah is, she's just kind, she's loving. Like, you can see the Jesus in her. You can see the God in her. You can, like, people are like, why is Deborah is so kind? She's so nice. She's so, what is this about Deborah? Is this Jesus as
yeah.
work in her life? That is literally what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many people in my head I can mention, but this is not a
a Deborah promo.
Yeah. It's not a people promo. Yeah. Because I can go on and on and on. Hey, I can go on and on about people. Is it? Sorry, I have to shout out my boyfriend too. Even Ayo, like, I can see the Jesus in him. And I know people around him can also testify to the fact that this guy is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there's nothing other, like, there's no other explanation than the fact that if you look at the common denominator, both of them are just, they just love Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is in their life. Jonathan, it's not a coincidence that they are both phenomenal people.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And if you even think about the disciples, the Jews know that the disciples had walked with Jesus because they looked like him.
Literally.
They literally looked, they emulated the characteristics that he had. And it's the same way.
And they were confused.
Bro.
What's going on?
Why do they,
that's the confusion that people should have when they see, why did she respond so kindly when I told her that she looked ugly?
Yeah.
Why did she respond with, thank you, God bless you, you know?
Yeah, why did she not try and fight me?
Why did she not try and fight me? Yes, I wouldn't fight you.
It's true.
That people should be like, there's something about this person.
No, it's very, very true. And I'm happy you brought it up. Even in terms of, like, not to get into prosperity gospel, but even in terms of prosperity, like, Christians prospering in the workplace, prospering in life, prospering mentally, physically, in good health, you know, it screams that they are serving a God. When everybody's feeling downcast, I'm not feeling like, the world has ended. Exchange rate, kinikon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're prospering through adversity, it shows that there's a God in your life, right? And Jesus is in your life. Yeah. So how does our life, and that's a great place to end, how does our life effectively evangelize God?
Yeah. I think it's even an exercise that you should take home, homework.
100%.
Right?
Me, I love to give a homework. That's people's homework.
Yeah.
What are things in my life that don't reflect God? Yeah.
And that don't work.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Do you have any other thing to add, my lovely guest?
I think I've said it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've said it all.
A woman of many words.
Period. This guy is an hour. But yeah, it has been very fun. I think this is a good topic for everyone.
Yeah.
To think about, just how can I do more in terms of evangelizing in general? And, you know, drawing people back to God, but also evangelizing in my friendships.
Yeah.
We've covered being not feeling fearful, not feeling like people are going to judge you, not wanting to please people, but to please God, setting boundaries, being accountable. So if you've gotten to the end, thank you for staying to the end. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was very nice filming / recording. But yeah, I just hope that above all, everything that God wanted to say through us has been said, that we would go out to be people, we'll go out and be people who are fishers of men, who want to, you know, introduce people to God and who love God so much that we are vocal about the God that we serve. Like we said, if you serve a good God, you would want to talk about that God. So as Christians, we should not be shy to talk about God. We should not be shy to share our testimony. Your testimony literally shows God being glorified in your life, right? So yes, I don't have any other thing to say, but I'm very happy that you were able to join me. Thank you so much for joining me today, T-Spice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the topic. Thank you for even putting this burden on our hearts. Thank you for making Toke a person that actually loves to evangelize her friends.
Yeah.
Me too, I need to learn work in that aspect. But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I just pray that even as you go on with your daily life after listening to this episode, that you would you know, see God as faithful. One, for whoever does not see God as faithful and you feel like you can't share this God with somebody because he hasn't looked faithful in your life, I pray, one, that you would see God as faithful. I pray that we would be people who come to know our God. We will come to know our God. We will come to know our God as good. I think the scripture that says those who trust in their Lord would be strong and do exploits. Yes. There will be people who trust in God, trust in the nature of God, trust in the character of God. And I pray against the fear. I pray against the feeling of judgment. When it comes to evangelizing to friends, I pray that we would not hold our past against ourselves. That we would let go of the past as God has let go of our past and come into a place where we can actually teach people about God, teach them to obey God, and pray that above all, our lives will be pleasing unto God and our lives would glorify God. In Jesus' name, amen. Period. Bye. Bye.